Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning into this station right here by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Or now you can watch our interviews as well on our YouTube channel and on Facebook. Look for Sporting Journal Radio. You can follow us on Instagram as well. This week, we're going to talk about a year-round walleye fishing opportunity in the Twin Cities, Pool 2. This is a pretty unique opportunity in the heart of the metro. Can be really good fishing. We'll talk to Dan Amundson about it here in just a little bit. He also went turkey hunting for the first time with a bow for the first time. And you know what? Sometimes the sun shines. Well, let's just say he had a pretty good morning. We'll find out more from Dan coming up here in a little bit. Also, Jason Markla from Bank Brewing. He's got a walleye-themed beer called Walleye Chop. We're going to talk about that beer and where you can find it as we get ready for the walleye fishing opener. And Joe Henry will talk about that walleye fishing opener as well, too, from Lake of the Woods, and talk about what traveling up to Lake of the Woods is going to be like. And as we talk about the extension of the stay-at-home order and what that means and what we can do and what we can't do. This week's show is brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. It's also brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake. Do some summer fishing up at Devil's Lake. Rent a cabin at Haybale Heights or bring your own boat. Go to haybaleheights.com for more details. It's also brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge. We just did a special edition of Tazen TV on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page. We talked to Trevor Montgomery and Barry Prawl about traveling to Saskatchewan. What is it like to try to book a trip, a fishing trip to Canada right now? Listen to what they had to say. Watch the video now on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. Or go to TazenLake.com to book a trip to Tazen Lake Lodge in Northwest Saskatchewan. As of right now, still planning on being up there this summer, fingers crossed. So all the details at TazenLake.com. And it's also brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. Another new episode this Sunday night on Pioneer PBS at 7:30 p.m. We go shooting without shells with Steve Olenschlager, wildlife photographer who also raises prairie chickens and ruffed grouse. Find out what it's like to raise ruffed grouse this Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS. Now we're going to check in with our radio pal, Doug Lear, from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department with an outdoors report brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort.
Funding for North Dakota hunting, fishing, and conservation has a strong historical backing. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department outdoors report. The State Game and Fish Department has received $12.8 million in 2020 as its share of excise taxes paid by America's recreational shooters, hunters, anglers, and boaters. The funding is used by Game and Fish to support conservation programs such as fish and wildlife monitoring, habitat improvement, research, and education. Federal assistance funds pay for up to 75% of the cost of each project, while the state contributes at least 25% from non-federal sources. Game and Fish is a special fund agency in North Dakota, as it receives no state general fund dollars. The federal funds are appropriated under two assistance programs, wildlife restoration and sport fish restoration. States use wildlife restoration funds to manage wildlife populations and habitat, conduct research, surveys, and inventories, administer hunter education programs, care for state public wildlife management areas, and construct or maintain public firearm and archery ranges. Sport fish restoration funds support fish stocking, improvements to fish habitat, aquatic resource education, fisheries research and construction, and maintenance of boat ramps, fishing piers, and other facilities. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio. All right. Hey, our guest today is Dan Amundson. How's it going, Dan?
It's going real well. How are you?
Not too bad. I wanted to have you on the show because you've done quite a bit of fishing, and you guys had an interesting experience with your dad, my brother Wade, the other day. You spent some time on the Mississippi and the Minnesota River in the Twin Cities metro area.
That's right. Yeah, we launched in downtown St. Paul, actually, to go walleye fishing, which how many people get to say that? It's a definitely different stretch of the river. We found some fish, but then we actually did some exploring, and you know, it's not too many people, I don't think, can say they've driven their boat and seen the Mall of America and the Xcel Energy Center in the same day from their boat.
It's interesting. There's some interesting fishing regulations in that area, whereas you can actually fish for walleyes year-round there.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, it's year-round, catch and release only, though. And I think that started because of all the pollution that was dumped in there. But it's really interesting because you talk to some of the people and you see pictures, you know, if you join these, there's Facebook groups for Mississippi River fishing. And you see these pictures of these fish that come out of here, especially in the early spring or even the winter or late fall for that matter. There's huge, huge walleyes in there. And, you know, people can't keep them, which obviously that helps. You do catch and release. Look at Mille Lacs. You see big fish coming out of Mille Lacs all the time now. But it's been like that for years. And the walleye fishing in there, it's highly underrated, and there's huge fish. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if we'll ever see a state record beat Minnesota anymore, but there's got to be a fish close in there right now.
I didn't see you catch any state record walleyes during your trip there.
We went a little late in the year. It's kind of that post-spawn tough period where you find a lot of small fish, but if you want some interesting fishing, you can definitely find a bunch of walleyes, almost like crappie fishing right up by the dam.
And it could be good fishing, but it was kind of a neat adventure. You didn't just see some landmarks that normally you only see from a vehicle, but you got to see some wildlife adapting to an urban environment.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I didn't expect it, but we ran all the way up to the dam. So it's Lock and Dam number one. And we got up there and the water's rushing, the falls are coming down, and all of a sudden there's just these geese all over the place. And you see them kind of splashing around in the water, getting real territorial like they always do. But then if you start looking a little closer, you know, look up against the lock door, and there's these little shelves on each door. And also you look up there and there's a goose nesting up there, right on the door. And then you start looking, there's a 75-foot high wall on one of the sides because it feels like you're in a big canyon and you're in a river. And it's carved out a lot. You see the high rises up top there. But there's, again, some of these shelves. And we watch some of these geese fly up off the water. And where are they going? It looks like they're going to run right into the wall. Well, nope. They fly right up to their nest, right on these shelves. They almost look like they're on a cliff, like an emperor goose kind of does. And it's just really, really interesting how they learned how these are safe spots. I mean, what predator, what coyote is going to get up on those shelves or something, and you know, maybe a couple birds could try and attack them, but not a really easy spot to get attacked, and how they learned, adapted, and really urbanized and found a safe place to nest.
You know, geese in the city, they know it's like a big refuge for them, but you actually were by a refuge there.
Yeah, there is the Minnesota River Refuge down. You'll see it. I can't remember the exact details of it, but say you're coming from the East Metro, driving to the Mall of America on 494, you drive right over that bridge. And you see that kind of wetland stuff. I always thought I always wanted a duck on it. You can't, but that's right where we were at. You know, you run your boat right up in there and never thought we'd get in there by a boat. I was kind of wondering how you do, but that's how you do it. You launch on the Mississippi and then run up the confluence and there you are.
So Dan, you go to Bemidji State. You're obviously not there right now. What's school like for you right now?
It's interesting. We're all online. Every class is online, and that's been challenging for a few classes. For a few, it's been a lot easier. Obviously, everything's online. You have unlimited resources to learn material however you want. But it's been a lot of fun because it allowed me to come down into the cities for a month and a half. And most people would say, why would you leave Bemidji to come down to the cities? Well,
I'd be one of those.
It was weird. Like, why am I leaving? But then realized, yeah, I can get the boat out. You know, beginning of March, we got the boat out, went down into Red Wing, and we've been fishing Pool 4 and switched it up last weekend. But been fishing Pool 4 for over a month. We've been catching walleyes and sauger and big catfish, all these fish out of our boat for a month. And the season, you know, the inland season's still a couple weeks away. And I've got a bunch of walleyes in my freezer from this year already. So it was kind of weird, but it's given me a lot of opportunities to get on the water, and went and shot a turkey on our opening day of A season. Went back up to Bemidji, did that. I was planning to stay up there for longer, but ended up with a 45-minute season. So these online classes have been kind of fun and have allowed me to get outside a little bit more.
So are you even doing any of your work? Are you even paying attention to school right now, Dan?
I mean, I'll get logged in every once in a while.
I mean, honestly, how do you think it's going to work out for people trying to do this schooling at home?
You know, for some people, this is a great way to learn. They're able to teach themselves and learn the material. Every class is different. Some professors are doing it where they're holding live Skype and Zoom classes, where it's just like you're getting your lecture, you're just sitting in front of a computer. And some are just putting PowerPoints online, and you kind of get the information yourself. So for some, it's going to work out great. Some are going to get the information and not be a step behind, but others, I think, are going to struggle and not be getting this material the way they should, and not even in the college level, but go down to high school, middle school, elementary school. I mean, you think if you're in second grade, or think back to when you were in second grade, would you want to be trying to kind of teach yourself and learn in front of a computer and all the distractions when you're that young too? It's tricky, and you hear it from, you know, my mom and my sister are both teachers, and they're worried about some of the people being behind, just because it's a weird time of year. But at the same time, everybody's going to be in the same boat. So there'll be adaptions made next fall when we get back, hopefully get back to the in-person classes, and people are going to be very understanding about where we're at. But it'll be interesting.
So some people just had, basically, did they cancel school for the rest of the year, or just do distance learning for the rest of the year in some places? What did they do exactly?
Yeah, so it's all distance learning. All the public schools in Minnesota are distance learning till whenever your regular school year would end. And then same thing for us. It's going to be, you know, this is our last week of instruction, and then we've got finals. I figured the finals would be changed up a little bit because we've got our set date and time of when our final would be, but apparently that's staying the same. So we're still going to have to we log into our website, and that's where our final will be. We take it from, we've got 2 hours to do it, and we do it then, and that's it. And that's, if you miss it, if you oversleep or something, just like normally, you're kind of screwed for that. But then that's going to be it. And there's been discussion of online classes coming this fall, but no official word on that. Mixed feelings about that one too, with hunting season being in the fall, that one might be even more distracting. But it's all distance for now, and we're learning on the fly. All the professors, teachers, and students are all learning at the same time, and it's really interesting.
That's Dan Amundson, Bemidji State University. What do you do there, Dan? Give us a little plug of some of the projects you're doing there.
Yeah, so I'm a marketing communications student with a mass communications minor, which means basically learning all sides business and video, radio, TV, all this kind of stuff, how they all kind of mesh together. So making advertisements, all this kind of fun stuff. But one of the fun things I get to do is I was the assistant sport director for the KBSU, which is the campus TV station, last year. So that was a fun gig. Basically, we were in charge of making sure our sports got on the air. So all our Division II, well, not all of our Division II athletics, but football, basketball mainly. We did a little bit of soccer, a few soccer games. But we're in charge of getting those on our TV station, recording them, and not recording, but getting the live broadcast out. We broadcast those. So that we got to do that. That's been a ton of fun. We've worked on a couple other TV shows for that. Then the radio station, we all pitch in with the radio station, kind of each take shifts as needed. I did one this fall. But really hands-on stuff at Bemidji. It's a lot of fun if you want to get your hands on cameras or radio equipment or whatever, and still be able to get a different degree even. You know, we've got a great biology program, but at the same time, you can still come in and work at the TV station. Anyone?
Oh, now you're going to talk about how great the biology program. I've been telling you to take that biology program since you decided to go there, Dan. You're also working with the fishing team, right?
I am, yep. So we have one of the only, well, not the only, but probably the best known fishing team in Minnesota. You know, Winona State's got one. A few other schools are developing them, but it's such a new sport. Bemidji seemed to have gotten right on it with guys like Sam Moore and the Thorne Mitch Swanson, kind of the three people that you hear of getting that ball rolling. Sam Moore now off doing his own media stuff with 13 Fishing and whatnot. But this fishing team, it's really growing. And I took over the role in January of the media specialist. So all of the social media and photos and video content you see, the website coming from that team, that's the stuff I get to do. And so again, ties right into my degree, and it's not something I get paid for, but that's college. You don't get paid for a lot of your work you do, but it's great for the resume.
Well, if you're trying to get into radio, get used to not getting paid for what you do. That's the way it goes. You mentioned a couple of things that I wanted to hit on too before we run out of time here is you caught some big catfish. You caught a couple of big flathead catfish, which people don't always realize the catfishing. I mean, you think of channel cats, which are fun and they can be fun to catch, but the flatheads that we have in Minnesota get giant, and you caught a couple of nice ones.
Yeah, I did. So back down in Red Wing, we were running Dubuque rigs for walleyes. You know, that's all. Everyone goes down there for the walleyes. And I've got that medium light rod that my grandpa made. You've got the same rod. And I was using that running a Dubuque rig. So three-way with two hooks coming off of it because it was borders with Wisconsin. So you get to use those two lines. And we're running in 8 feet of water maybe, real shallow and Pool 4, everyone knows, is known for trophy walleyes as well, especially in the spring, and set into one and immediately, this is a big fish, you know, get the net right now. And right away, I'm thinking this is a 14-pound walleye. And then it just goes on a big run, just pulling line. I'm like, well, that's not a walleye anymore. And hoping for sturgeon, but it's the river, so you never know. And all the boats around us are kind of laughing at us and they'll have fun with that one. And it drug us out in the middle of the channel and kind of did what it wanted until it got tired and finally worked that thing up, put a lot of stress on that rod, but yanked it up, and I couldn't believe how big that fish was. You know, it estimated over about 30 pounds. We didn't have a scale, but it was heavy to hold, I'll tell you that much. Definitely the biggest fish I've ever caught. So that was a bunch of fun, and we get back to walleye fishing, and you know, there's that disappointment when that fish came up and it wasn't a
giant walleye. Yeah.
Right? So we get back to fishing again and running the same rig, same rod, and set up into another one. I'm like, ooh, this is a big fish too. And didn't as big. So now that I know what a 30-pound catfish feels like, I'm thinking, well, this could be that 12-pound walleye. And wasn't pulling line as much. You just feel kind of the shoulders on it. And this is acting more walleye-ish. And then it went for that big run. Well, here we go again. And sure enough, came up, and it was about a 22-pound catfish. So again, not that giant walleye you're looking for, but strong, healthy fish. And it was a ton of fun. My arms were very, very tired after that. But it's so much fun. And catfish, like you said, are very underrated and they get huge, especially in the Minnesota River. I think the state record flathead is like 70 pounds. Huge, and old fish, and what a blast to catch.
Yeah, the tug is the drug, as they say, of course. Right. And, I mean, you're not going to keep a flathead. So just being able to fight a fish that heavy, anytime you get over 20 pounds of the fish, I mean, you're in for a good fight. It's a lot of fun. It's why I enjoy catching those big lake trout up at Tazen Lake because, you know, you're catching 30, 40, 50, 60-pound fish, and they're just trying to rip the rod out of your hand, trying to run deep. It's a lot of fun. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about, since it's turkey season right now too, Dan, is you decided to bow hunt You decided to hunt turkeys for the first time this year, and you decided to bow hunt for the first time. So you haven't bow hunted for deer. You haven't bow hunted for turkeys before or anything like that. So, you know, we were kind of talking before you went. I was like, Dan, just be aware. Bow hunting turkeys is generally not very easy. I mean, there's always exceptions to that rule. You can be in a great spot. You can have some really dumb turkeys or just some dumb luck. So I did not expect the message I got 45 minutes into the season on your first day turkey hunting, Dan.
Yeah, I didn't really either. You know, everybody I talked to is, you know, even turkey hunting with a shotgun is hard, and you're going with the bow and you've never done it before. And the reason I wanted to hunt with a bow is, A, I've had a bow for a while and have never shot.
It's a pretty nice bow, by the way.
Very nice bow. Nice elite.
My old bow.
Yeah. And so I've had that for a number of years and never hunted with it. And I remember last year up at Babidji, I got so bored this time of year because ice is coming off the lakes and you can't get a boat out and you can't ice fish. Well, what else is there to do? The turkey population has started to soar into Babidji. And so I thought, well, let's give it a shot. It'll give me something to do. Even if I don't get one, I'll have a month and a half to hunt, just sit in the woods and enjoy my time and learn a thing or two. Coming back down here, threw a little bit of my scouting missions off, but I went back up, scouted a few properties, walked through the door of my house, and got a tip that said there's turkeys not too far away on this piece of public, and I would go check it out. And so I did the next day, a quick scout set up, and saw a few birds set up, and had my two brand new decoys with my brand new diaphragm call that I practiced on for a little bit, and heard gobbles right away, and distance off, but then 20 minutes later they got a little close, and here I had two toms working in, and I couldn't believe it. It's, and you know, all the stars kind of aligned, and they worked over the hill, worked right up into the decoys, right, perfectly, as perfectly as you could ask for, and met one of my broadheads and is now in my freezer.
First morning ever bow hunting, first morning ever turkey hunting, sticks a turkey with your bow. That's awesome, man. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Dan. Well, I appreciate you being my guinea pig, my first Skype interview for the radio show here. So we're going to do more video work here with the radio show, and it means our guests are normally going to have to brush their hair and maybe shave a little bit. But obviously that's not the case today.
I was throwing a hat. I've shaved my hair in a while.
So. Yeah. Well, to be fair, I didn't today either. So Dan Amundson, thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast, or now watching the video, because we're bringing video to the show now here. I'm not quite sure how, if anybody's going to want to look at this, or if any of our guests are going to want to be on video, but that's too bad, because that's the way we're going to do it from now on. And we're bringing in Jason Markland now from Bank Brewing. Jason, it's an exciting time because the walleye opener is coming up. That's always a fun time for you guys there at Bank Brewing.
Yeah, we're just looking, you know, we're on Lake Hendricks. So the walleye fishing's already started. It's a border lake. And we're just looking towards Minnesota opener in general to try to get some beer out into the marketplace and just stop thinking about being in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's one thing people are trying to do a lot of right now is fishing, because you can socially distance, you can get out in the outdoors, you can enjoy this warmer weather that we're having right now. But I always like to have a little walleye chop when I'm walleye fishing, Jason.
Well, yeah, of course. We just canned a bunch of it. Would you like one?
Well, yeah. Pass me a beer.
Here.
Oh, look at that. Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right. I should probably have one with you.
Cheers.
It's a virtual cheers, man.
There you go. I like it. So I wanted to have you on to talk about walleye chop, of course. Tell us about this beer, Jason.
Oh, it's a great drinking lager that goes great with this type of year. You know, we've come off of all the dark beers from wintertime, and now it's time the sun's out. It's going to be 70 degrees today here. Something that you can in the boat, drink when you get off the boat, whenever you want.
Yes, it is. It's got I don't want to say it's got a punch to it, because it's an easy drinking beer, but it's got a decent alcohol content to it.
Well, it's called the beer with bite for a reason.
There you go. Tell us about the artwork on the can.
You know, actually, a guy from Detroit Lakes painted that watercolor for me 8 years ago. And that's where the artwork came from, actually. That's just, a generic representation of what it's like, hanging out on Lake Hendricks catching walleyes.
Yeah, tell people where your brewery is at, Jason.
We're in Hendricks, Minnesota. So we're just southwest Minnesota. We're right on the border. We could cast fly rods into South Dakota. It's that easy. We're right there. We're only 90 miles north of Sioux Falls, for reference for people, 30 miles west of Marshall, Minnesota. So we're right there. Good old Hendricks, Minnesota.
So how has this stay-at-home, shelter-in-place, stay-at-home order, how has this affected your business?
Well, our tap room shut down. And most of our business is done, with kegs through bars and restaurants and through distribution, and that's just, none of that business is there. We're not known as a large packaging brewery, and so that's one of the things that, that would be a saving grace for us, I guess, is if we had a lot of beer that we could sell into retail. So just having the walleye chop launch right now is a big, big deal for me, because that's where the revenue is. All the revenue for my brewery is going to come from right now.
So you've got them packaged in these four packs. Is this how people mostly would get them?
Yeah. Cause the keg beer, we can't sell it right now, cause there's no place for it to go.
Right.
Normally this time of year, we'd be running kegs to bars and restaurants all over the country, or all over the state, that, kind of cater to our customer, the fisherman they're just getting kicked off in the season. They're going out and fishing, and then they patronize those bars and restaurants. That we're not going to get to see that this year.
On some stations, this show airs at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to be drinking beers. We're recording this ahead of time, by the way, in the afternoon, but it's pretty close. But we're not drinking beer at 6 a.m., just so people are aware. But I know Madison Bottling is in my backyard here in western Minnesota. They have a lot of your beer, right, Jason?
Yeah, so they're a beer distributor that sells it to, like the liquor store in Montevideo,
yep. Here's the problem with you.
Or the one in Wilmer or wherever they go. And so that... the biggest thing that anybody can do for us right now is to call their liquor store in Minnesota and say, we need this beer, and don't let them tell you that they can't get it.
There you go. And you can get it to them.
We'll give it. I'll be driving this stuff around. Yeah. Heck yeah.
So have you been paying attention? I mean, it's like every day something changes with this coronavirus and the phases for reopening. Is there a certain phase you have to wait for that tap room to reopen?
Yeah, we're looking for direction from the governor on when bars can reopen.
All right.
Because that's our classification. I mean, we have a liquor license to sell on and off sale, just like most bars do. Ours, the biggest restriction is we can only sell the stuff that we make. So that's kind of what we're just waiting for, that direction, and we'll see. To me, I mean, just my gut feeling is probably nothing this in May. So we're looking probably hopefully in June to get back going. So we've looked at a few options for, like, we're going to try to do some takeout stuff, like have a special event where people can drive up on a Saturday and get some beer and a growler. It's just we're in such a small town that's, you know, it's a little tougher than maybe in a where there's more population. So
yeah, and everything is tough right now. This is hitting businesses so hard everywhere. Hopefully things will turn around here soon, and hopefully you'll be able to get your tap room back open and can start slinging some of these beers. But for now, people should look for Walleye Chop at your local liquor store. If they don't have it, ask for it. But, you know, I'm not far from Montevideo here. You think it's in the Montevideo liquor store, Jason?
The beer distributor, we just canned this. So the beer distributor probably pick it up Wednesday. The earliest you probably will see it is the end of the week in any southwest Minnesota area. And it'll take longer to get it up north and other places.
And this usually works its way into some resorts, right? So if people end up at a resort somewhere to be able to do some fishing, hopefully soon. It sounds like the resorts are going to be able to start opening back up with some guidelines, of course. But, you know, if you're going on a fishing trip, tell the bar there to have Walleye Chop if they don't, right?
That would be pretty cool if they did. We need your help more than ever, man.
Well, you've got a website. People can find out more about your brewery and Walleye Chop beer.
Yeah, just head to bankbrewing.com. You can send us a note right through the website.
I like this virtual beer drinking. This is the way. This is our world right now. If we want to drink beer with our buddies, you almost have to do it over Skype. Gosh,
I'm not gonna lie. I've had many happy hours on Skype, Zoom, FaceTime. So
have you been doing that a lot with friends and family and whatever, relatives?
Yeah, just to keep in touch and see people's faces and their expressions and just, you know, their beards, their mustaches, everything else they're growing.
People that haven't shaved in a while, haven't had a haircut in a while.
There's plenty of that going on. It's pretty legit.
I cut my own hair. I'm about to do it again. I'm almost on haircut number two during this whole quarantine situation. I'll put some pictures into the video of my first haircut situation. It was interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
But looking back on 2020, think about the words and the phrases that we've never used before, like Zoom. I'd never heard of Zoom before. Social distancing. That's going to be, I mean, that was like the number one keyword, and of course, COVID or coronavirus, but it's been an interesting year, man. I wish you all the best. The beer's delicious. I love it. Walleye Chop. The brewery's awesome. So good luck with everything. Hopefully things turn around here and you can fill up that tap room again. Jason Mark, LeBanc Brewing, thanks for being on the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Brett. Stay safe.
All right, we've got some fishing reports coming up from Lake of the Woods next on Sporting Journal Radio.
It's almost spring, and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at prairiesportsman.org.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network on this radio station right here. Thank you very much, radio station. We appreciate it. Also by downloading the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts, by streaming on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. And then also now you can watch some new versions of the show. A lot of content that's not making it into this radio show we're doing on Facebook and our YouTube channel. We have a new YouTube channel, Sporting Journal Radio, on YouTube, and it's all video. So you can see us talking to each other, and we'll include pictures and videos of different things that we're talking about. Find us now on YouTube, Facebook, and of course, Instagram to look for Sporting Journal Radio. Now we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods, check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. It's warming up. We're excited. People are excited about doing some fishing. We're still kind of on the edge of our seats about what we can do and what we can't do. But there's been a little bit more clarification this week, hasn't there, Joe?
There has, yeah. And, you know, the good thing is we can fish. And we can fish up at Lake of the Woods. And that's a good thing. So the way it's working right now is that, you know, people can travel up to Lake of the Woods. And they can stay at a resort. They can go fishing. The accesses are open. All that's fair game. The thing is that the governor has put into place, which for good reason, a lot of safety measures. So our resorts have really buckled down on not only safety for employees, but also our guests. So things like special COVID-19 guidelines, COVID-19 cleaning guidelines, you know, things like making it possible so that you can check in before you even get up there. And in some cases, you might not even have to go to the lodge. In many cases, they're making it so your cabin is available so that you know right where you're going, and you can go right to your cabin, and your cabin's going to be open when you get there. Things like if you're on the meal plan, they'll have a menu in your cabin, and you can either order off the menu and just go, one person picks up the meals from the lodge, or in some cases, they're delivering it. Same with bait. So, I mean, they're really making it so that you can have as little contact as possible, which, quite frankly, you know, when we go shopping at a grocery or department store, you look at all the people in there. Heck, from my perspective, this would be a lot better than doing that.
That's well, we don't need to get into it, but that's kind of been part of this whole discussion is how crowded it is actually getting at some of these stores, whereas fishing, you generally don't congregate that much. You do a lot of social distancing naturally. But I just want to back up for just a second, Joe, because we got something more important going on right now. In this world of doing all this staying home and broadcasting from home and video conferencing, Skype like we are, everybody's showing their dogs. And I'm pretty sure I just heard your mean, vicious hunting dog there in the background.
I got two of them. So one of them, just to give an example of how we're rolling right now, one of them is on my lap sleeping. So here's Tula. Here's my Tula. One hunting dog.
Hi,
so
Tula.
I'll tell you, you know, I always said, you know, someday I'm going to have myself a couple of hunting dogs. Well, I got a Tori Yorkie and a Shih Tzu Bichon. Maggie, come here. Maggie. Well, she's around here. Come here, Maggie. Come on. Come here. No. So just like everybody else.
There you go.
Look at the camera. Let's look at the camera. Maggie needs a haircut.
Hi, Maggie.
Teaching you to see it. But anyway.
Well, speaking of haircuts, Joe, is that how you cut? You cut your hair with the same thing you cut your dog's hair with, then, Joe? Or?
Well, it's a loaded question. I got the dog clippers. I got the dog clippers to trim the dogs, but I never trimmed the dogs yet because I'm kind of leery about nicking them. So I've been bringing the dogs to the groomer, so I'd never use the clippers. But consequently, I had these dog clippers, which, as we talked about last week, are actually better quality than human clippers. So that's what I use myself for myself, and hence I'm going to wear a hat today for the interview.
Well, I'm on haircut number two, actually, right before the interview. I gave myself a haircut, and I just go real short, Joe, number two all the way across. But here's what happened to me today, because we talked about your story last week and how maybe you went a little bit shorter than you wanted to. Well, after I got done and I shaved and did all this, well, I was looking at my hair in the mirror and I had one little spot that I must have missed right up here that was just a little bit taller than the rest of it. Well, I had my beard trimmer at that point, and I use a number two on my beard trimmer and I use a number two on my hair clippers. Well, let me just be the first to say they're not exactly the same.
What, do you have a gouge now?
Well, yeah. So, yeah, I thought I'd try to trim it with my beard trimmer. And also, I'm like, and I went, oh. So anyway, I'm going to put the hat back on.
Well, you know, Brett, if as my brothers would say, whenever I get a haircut, what happened to you? Lose a bet?
Yeah. Well, Joe, let's talk fishing a little bit. Oh, you know what I want to talk to you about? Because I had the guys from Saskatchewan on to talk about border crossing. And on April 20th, they extended the closure of the border for another 30 days. So we got to wait a couple of weeks into May before we can find out about crossing the border. And of course, with the Northwest angle, if you drive up there, you have to cross the Canadian border. So before that border opens up, how are people getting up? If they want to get up and fish the Minnesota side, the Northwest angle, how are they getting up there?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know what? So the Minnesota Fish Opener, of course, is May 9th, and this restriction for the U.S.-Canada border goes till May 20th, that unless you live in the Northwest angle and have an address on your driver's license, you can't go up there, even if you're a property owner. So what we're doing is, it's kind of unique, but, you know, if most people, to your point, get there by driving through Manitoba and then entering back into Minnesota. If you go by water, you can actually stay in Minnesota. So what we're doing is, some people will navigate their own boats up to the Northwest angle and fish the Minnesota side of you know, that area. Others are going to actually jump on one of our transport services. For instance, Sportsman's Lodge has a transport service. Well, they'll bring you up there in their charter boat. And in some cases, people will jump on the charter boat with all their gear and get dropped at the resort they're staying at and have a wonderful experience with their guide or renting a boat, whatever. And then they'll make arrangements to get chartered back. In other cases, people are going up and they want to use their own boat. They're going to be up there for a little while. So what they're doing is, they're putting their gear, a lot of their gear, in the charter boat, and then they're following the charter boat on the way up, kind of knock the waves down and stuff if it's windy. And so there's different things that are going on. It's kind of cool, too. Some of the South End resorts on Lake of the Woods, if you are staying with the Northwest Angle Resort up there, they're allowing you to park at their resort, whether it's your car or a truck or boat and trailer, whatever, you know.
That's very cool. You know, times like these, it's nice when people can work together and help each other out a little bit. Joe, fishing up there has been pretty good this spring for the people that that live up there. Have been able to do some fishing. I just saw a picture actually on Facebook this morning of some pretty nice sturgeon coming out of the river.
Oh, sturgeon. Hey, sturgeon fishing has been on fire. So, you know, it's been really good. And I think the sturgeon season goes till May 15th, I believe. But yeah, sturgeon fishing has been on fire. I mean, people are catching a lot of sturgeon, a lot of big sturgeon right now. And it's funny, too, because we can kind of tell that the walleyes are still in the river because you know this firsthand. You know, the sturgeon anglers are catching some pretty good-sized walleyes. And but no, sturgeon fishing has been really, really good. And gosh, this whole week, the weather is going to be just awesome. And it would be a great week to get out prior to the Minnesota Fishing Opener to get some real big fish, actually.
All right, so we're waiting on... What else are we waiting on, I guess, Joe? How are things progressing, and what are resorts still waiting for some more direction, or where are they at right now?
Yep. So, you know, right now people can come up and stay at resorts and go fishing and such. The one thing that has not been released yet is, you know, what about like charter boats? Currently, The governor's asking that, you know, charter boats hold off for a little bit yet, as well as guided fishing. And that's for the whole state. So we're kind of waiting for word on that. And, you know, I know that I've spoken to many resorts and lots of guides, and, you know, they kind of have the perspective of, well, if you know, we have a small group of people, and I, as a charter captain or a guide, I'm willing to wear, you know, a mask or you know, one of those things that protects you from the sun, or a garter, you know, whatever, are we allowed to do that? And that's what we're still kind of waiting word on. So as of right now, we haven't gotten word one way or another if that's going to be a possibility. But again, that's the one thing we're waiting on. And the other thing will be, right now it's takeout or delivery service for food only, and the bars aren't open. I have a feeling that it's going to be a little bit longer down the road before those kind of things open up.
This time of year, around the opener, or I've been doing some fishing locally on some of the border waters here where walleye season's been open. It's jig fishing, dragging jigs kind of in shallow water. Is that work up at Lake of the Woods, or for guys that are going to go up there and fish the opener here on May 9th, what would you recommend for them?
Yeah, jigging's the way to go. You know, the majority of people will be jigging, and, you know, water's going to be cold. And there are going to be fish in the river. They'll be fishing Four Mile Bay. And there's going to be fish, a lot of fish, along that whole south shore, fairly close to shore, as well as up in the angle. They're going to be closer to the islands, closer to shore, and then in neck down areas where there's a little bit of current. And jigging is absolutely the way to go. I'll tell you what I would do. I would put on a gold jig or a gold jig with a combination of glow, pink, or maybe orange. And put on there a frozen shiner. When you put that frozen shiner on there, those are emerald shiners that walleyes are used to eating. And, you know, put that frozen shiner on, either you can hook it through the eyes, thread it all the way up to the jig head, and then hook it halfway through the body. Now, that minnow might be a little bit sideways on there, but in that stained water of Lake of the Woods, it really doesn't matter. The other way anglers do it is they will hook the frozen shiner through the mouth, out the gill, push it all the way up, and then kind of put that hook through the side of that minnow. Well, that way you got about that jig hook is about halfway back in that minnow, and your percentage of hookups are going to be a lot better when the fish hits.
That's Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods Tourism. We're looking forward to the opener, of course. We're looking forward to just getting back out on the water and doing some fishing. If people want to come up, they want to learn a little bit more about how things are going up there at Lake of the Woods, they want to find out where they can book trips, your website has all that information.
It really is, you know, and I'll say this too, you know, if you've never been up, the first time is always the toughest anywhere you go because you don't know the lay of the land, but all you got to do is just get to your resort and they're going to help you from there. And got lots of good boat ramps and stuff, Brett, but you know, the best way to check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more. And search for Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram for outdoor videos, tips from the experts, and more. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.